B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, although I've been wrong once before on this. One of three teams picks him up. I mean, he.
Which three teams do you think will pick him up?
I think, look, the natural would be if Cam Newton is out, then the natural place to be is to play with Eric in Carolina. I mean, can you imagine? I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move.
That
would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
That is the voice of Mark Garagos, a big-time L.A. lawyer. Get to that. Ted Johnson in for Zoe today. What's up, Ted? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. Better than I think you're doing today.
I am. I'm on fumes. That's okay, though. I am a little bit cross-eyed.
You got hosed by an airline like worse than I think I've ever heard someone get hosed.
I was telling you guys.
Although Fred Tucher's got a story that rivals it, but to be told your flight is delayed when it's not delayed, that's just mean.
Yeah.
That's not right.
I was so we got in really late last night. Obviously, the weather was a factor in travel yesterday, and I had a flight that was going to get me in about 9:30. From Orlando.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Normal hour.
I'd get a decent amount of sleep. I was supposed to be on the morning show, so I flipped with Adam Jones because I got in so late. Thank you, Adam, for switching with me. But it's good to be with you, Beetle. But the airline, I love the text message kind of feature that they offer you. If you need alerts, put in your phone number when you board. Make your reservation. So anything that's going on, they'll let you know. Well,
right.
I did that. Okay. And I checked the flight. It was supposed to be on time. I got a text yesterday afternoon after we played our round of golf that our flight was on time because everybody was saying how bad the weather was back in Boston. So, fine, we'll get there at the time we wanted to. And then we got an alert that said the flight was supposed to leave at 6:40. Now it leaves at 7:44.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So we got a little bit of time to enjoy with each other a little bit more with my son down in Orlando, and then I brought my son Charlie from up here, and that's great. More time for the three of us to hang out. So I get another alert, Beetle. The third alert I've gotten on my text within about an hour. It says now your flight
has been
delayed to 8:30. Oh, okay, man. This is just it's making a long day. We're getting late. I got to work tomorrow. It's all good, right? Okay, no, nothing we can't handle. So we get to the airport about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
We put the rental car away. Check it, the rental car in.
And it is an 8:30 flight.
For now, it is an 8:30 flight.
Before.
An hour and a half early, we got this, no problem. We got TSA pre, we can get in. I wasn't worried about anything. We get there, and I go to check our bags in. It won't let me do it. And all of a sudden, panics. It's not letting me do it. What's going on? All of a sudden, it pops up on the screen. Too late boarding. It's too late to check bags in. Your plane is boarding. And are you kidding me? I lost a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I went to the first ticket agent right there, like cut in line. It was like, what is going on here, sir? Oh, can we hold on 1 second? We'll help you in 1 second. They told me the flight was going to leave at 8:30. They moved it back up an hour.
Didn't tell you.
And did not tell us.
Oh, and then you couldn't get on.
So we couldn't get on the flight. So we had to get the last flight out of Orlando last night.
Wow.
That, of course, was delayed. So we got in early this morning. Because of that little mix up.
Brutal.
And they told me, well, we expect people to be here kind of when your original flight is here. So when things like this happen that you're not screwed like you were, I was like, huh, yeah, thanks. So anyway, it was a hot mess, but we got here. But the text feature let me down yesterday on the airline.
All right, well, I'm glad you're here. You made it.
That's going to be here, buddy.
You made it. You made it back to town. Mark Garagos is an attorney that represents Colin Kaepernick, and that's him on TV over the weekend talking about how Garagos believes that, you know, Kaepernick wants to play, still wants to be a player in the NFL. This coming after the news on Friday, right after we got off the air on this show, that the NFL has settled their case with Colin Kaepernick. A settlement has been reached between the two sides. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report had this tweet going back to Friday afternoon. And he wrote, number of NFL team officials are speculating to me that the NFL paid Kaepernick in the range of $60 to $80 million.
Oof. Cha-ching.
That's what was reported on Friday. Pro Football Talk reported yesterday that the figure is likely smaller. They had set a hypothetical over-under for $49.5 million, and they believe it may be less than that. They have a source that said the $60 to $80 million range is incorrect. And I think if you're the NFL, you want that to be incorrect and you want to tell people that it's incorrect and you didn't pay nearly that much money, because Colin Kaepernick beat the NFL. Colin Kaepernick won.
Oh, you crushed him.
He killed them. And that, okay, regardless of your opinions on Colin Kaepernick, that you can stand and look at and say on its own, someone taking the NFL to court, a player to court and winning, is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you're talking about their money and the thing that they don't want to part with. He went in there and he beat them, and they settled with him. And you will hear the spin in the coming days, and it's already started, that this was not about, you know, them losing, and they weren't fearful of losing. It was about revealing information and revealing text messages or emails or depositions, that's the reason why, that it was about their own privacy. Not if it's tens of millions of dollars. Or it's also not unless one of your owners slipped up and admitted something that was likely true in the case.
Yeah.
That you don't want revealed. He beat them.
He crushed them. I was shocked. Beetle, I was shocked. Tim, I was shocked I was actually at the airport and I saw the ticker go across the screen and I was like, wait, am I seeing this correct? It's one of those things you just kind of forget that there's a lawsuit going on at the time, because it's been a long time since there's been any news on that front. And then when you saw that it was settled, you knew right away it was for big, big money. And the thing is, all you had to do was prove that two teams, right, colluded. It doesn't have to be all 32 teams that were in cahoots on. Two teams. If you got evidence that proves that the two teams colluded to make sure, to keep you out of from having a job, then you have a case. It was a huge win. Nobody beats the NFL. I mean, we've seen it around here. We know we know exactly what it's like to take on the NFL with the whole Deflategate thing. They can't stand losing. They will do whatever it takes. They'll spend every ounce of resource and money they have to make sure that their name is not smeared. Those guys won, and they won in a big, big way. Now the next thing is the people suggesting that he's going to play football. I would be shocked. I would be absolutely shocked and stunned if this guy actually comes back to play football. My guess is, Beetle, that there's something in the contract that says you are not, you can't, you're basically waiving your rights to ever play in the NFL. I could be wrong, but that's my feeling.
Well, I think what it probably waives is that he could never claim that he is again being colluded against.
That's right? That's for sure.
That's probably exactly how it. So they can decide as a league, we don't want this guy anymore. So we don't want him in our league anymore. So he's done, and there's nothing that will come back to haunt us on this one, because we've already settled. We've paid the lawsuit. So now we have the right to basically say, we're not letting you back in. That was part of the agreement of some sort. You can't come back and do this again. That's no doubt. That's part
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Do you think anybody would want to take a chance on him? I could tell you that there's no owner that would want to pay the guy. Not after giving up $60 or $80 million of league money, which is in essence team money, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like every team is chipping in. If it's
about $3 million each, yeah.
Now let's just say everyone's giving at least $1 million a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Can we all agree that it's more than the $32 million range?
I would absolutely think that.
Everyone's in for $1 million already on this guy. Now you're gonna pay them more?
Yeah, no way.
No way.
No way.
I don't want to cut him a check every week.
Yeah.
He beat us in court.
Yeah.
Just on that principle alone. He beat us. He beat the owners. He beat the league. We want nothing to do with them.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? They wanted this guy to go away so, so bad. And you know what's the thing? Is who would be the owner? Who would be the team that would just say, I'm going to go lone wolf on this. I'm going to go sign this guy. Forget the rest of you guys and what you think of this guy. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sign this guy because I think he can be a viable quarterback for us. That would be interesting to see who's got the cojones. I mean, look, we all know this guy can play in the NFL. Now, it's been a while, But he's better than half the backups in this league.
Okay, a big part of this is going to be a coach that wants him. It has to be a coach first.
But it
has isn't that first? It first has to be a coach.
Absolutely.
Then that coach has to go to the owner.
Right. Absolutely.
So I as but much as you such... say, which owner would say that? No owner is going to actively say, I want Colin Kaepernick.
No.
Which one could be convinced?
That's exactly what I'm saying. No, I don't think there's one owner. I mean, I don't think there's one owner that would be convinced.
You heard Garagos for the second time in over the period of a few months mention the Patriots again. You mentioned Robert Kraft by name in that clip on TV over the weekend. He keeps doing this. He did it once before, and the Patriots responded to it saying, you know, that's a lawyer trying to drum up interest in his client. That's not true. This isn't we haven't expressed any interest. We haven't talked. He threw that name out there again, which to me is interesting just in some small way. Why does he keep doing that? What does he know? Does he know something? Has he heard something? Is there any ounce of truth, any little morsel of truth in what he keeps saying about the Patriots could take a shot at him?
Did I hear that Robert Kraft has said that he has respect or that he likes or that he's got an affinity towards Colin Kaepernick? Has anybody seen it in print?
Well,
or heard
Chris,
it
Carter, Chris Carter claimed Chris Carter that on television last
okay.
week.
I would love
but
to
no
know.
But no one knows where that came
okay.
from.
Yeah, because I would be shocked if there's anything on record.
There
isn't. Out of Robert Kraft's mouth that regarding Colin Kaepernick. So that's just one guy's opinion on it. As far as we know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He said it with such, you know, conviction that he would have you think he was somehow reporting it.
Are they putting this two and two together because of all the stuff that Robert Kraft's involved in with this alliance reform and Meek Mill and all this stuff?
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Are they just putting two and two together?
Could be. Might be. Could be just sheer speculation based on the things that he's been involved in. Could be.
That's to me, Jim, that's exactly what I thought, is that, you know, I don't know, Mr. Kraft has kind of, been supportive of a different entity, an industry that maybe Colin Kaepernick bumps up against, I guess. I don't know.
And
so you're going to make these conclusions based on that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Despite his support of Donald Trump over the years, both personally, monetarily speaking, the only time he's ever spoken out against Donald Trump was when it was about the anthem. He called him divisive.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one issue that he said something that could be perceived as negative about his friend Donald Trump. That's the one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one time he was willing to say something bad about our current president as it relates to this issue and the issue that Colin Kaepernick is at the center of. So maybe it could be pure speculation. But at some point, if that just keeps getting said, I start to wonder, right or wrong, and it could be complete bullcrap. Some, you know, another lawyer feeding us a load of bullcrap. But I'm like, he keeps saying that. Even though they publicly shot this guy down once already, he went back on television and said, well, you know, and he says Bob Kraft, which means he's from a different time, right? Like, you've got to be either older or you've got to know
really
him somehow.
Friend, like a really good friend.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I just know that those, rich and famous people and famous lawyers, and, you know, they all run in the same circles.
Yeah.
That's how Richard Berman and Robert Kraft end up at the same party in the Hamptons. They had to have run into each other at some point in time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's got just a feeling about it. I don't know, but it just keeps getting said, and I start to question it the more it gets said.
Yeah, it's probably...
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a willingness to take him on.
Maybe there is. You know, my feeling is Mr. Kraft likes to kind of maybe appeal to everybody, you know, maybe plays both sides, but he's a forward, progressive, I think, type of owner, right? And so it maybe makes sense that he would be willing... interested in perhaps bringing in a Colin Kaepernick.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think everybody realizes, and I didn't realize this, how close Odell Beckham Jr. was to being traded last year, Mike. I mean, it was really close. Of course, we knew the conversations. You and I were at the owners' meetings together. But here's the big thing that I found out towards the end of the year, really, more than anything, with Odell Beckham Jr. The Giants were going to trade him, and I think they were really looking and listening to all offers. You know what really stopped it? And I think this is what's going to shock people. This is from everything I know of multiple sources. The thing that stopped the trade conversation with Odell Beckham Jr. is because the team that was most aggressive in pursuing him was the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots were trying to get Odell Beckham Jr. all last offseason. That didn't work out. And I think the Giants got cold feet and said, wait, New England wants him?
That's the voice of Chris Sims, who reports the Patriots almost completed a deal for Odell Beckham Jr. because they were very aggressive in trying to acquire him. He said that on Pro Football Talk Live, PFT Live. Chris Sims with that report. And, well.
That's juicy, isn't it?
That is something. And the reason why the Giants got cold feet, because they were worried that the Patriots were going to dupe them somehow.
Like, all of a sudden it hit them like, oh, it's the Patriots. Wait, what were we thinking? Okay, we don't want to do business with the Patriots because every trade they make, more times than not, I think ends up to be more beneficial for the Patriots than the team that they dealt with, right? It just feels that way. They've had a good track record of, it's like they see something in a player that their own team doesn't see. Maybe they're just afraid. You know, obviously it's the Patriots. They keep winning, man.
Right. And it has that Red Auerbach effect, like, oh no, Red's gonna screw us.
Yeah,
we can't do it. You know, and people never seem to wise up to that thing. The fact that he was beating the bag out of everybody on every deal he was making.
Is that true? Wouldn't you be nervous as hell if the Patriots are calling you, inquiring about one of your players? Like, all right, what am I missing here? What's going on here? I just feel like the Patriots. It's like they just see it differently. Well, and so it's like, all right, what are we missing in our own player that the Patriots want him?
On a player like this, though, the talent is undeniable and it's obvious to everybody, right? So you know what I think the fear is? I think the fear is that they would get exposed as a team that doesn't have a good sort of system or culture when all of a sudden you send a guy like that who's been a locker room headache.
Yep.
You send him to a different team and all of a sudden he falls in line and he becomes a great winner. And they sit there and say, hold on, we look bad. They're afraid of looking bad down the road.
I get it.
They're afraid of being exposed as a team that can't get their crap together. That's, you know, being what it is over the last few years.
There's examples of players coming here, though, that had, I mean, would you say Josh Gordon was a success? I mean, we all knew he had issues. Right? I mean, it's been well documented, all the issues he had in Cleveland. And he comes here, and it was nothing really different at the end of the day, right? It was kind of the same thing that you saw in Cleveland. He didn't come here and all of a sudden become a different player. I think there's other examples in the past of maybe a player that had issues. You know, Chad Johnson had issues and comes here, still has issues. It's not like you come here and all of a sudden you're a different player. Well, it can happen. Randy Moss, I would say this,
like Chad Johnson's issues here were that he couldn't learn the playbook.
Right.
And he couldn't figure out the system. He just couldn't adapt.
More than just adapting to the culture. It was more about the system.
I think he was fine. I think when he was here, he seemed to get along with everybody, and he wasn't a problem for them.
Is the timing of this, when Chris Sims is talking about this happening last offseason?
It sounds he's talking in season. During the season is what I gather
from
him.
And he just, I believe last offseason, OBJ just.
And he did specify offseason in this?
He did, I think, in that clip. I think he said offseason.
So, I want to know if it ended in the offseason. Could it have been?
We signed a new big. My point is, he signed a huge deal in the offseason.
It just, there was the, you know, the whole Golden Tate or better rumor at the start of the year. I wonder if it could have been him. If that conversation continued, because he's still a tradable player. Do you think the contract would stop the Patriots from being in on the player?
It would be a surprise, Beetle, I think. Because
you don't get aggressive for a guy when you know he's going to get a new contract. Like, you're in. You're in for it all if you go after a player like that. You're in for the money. You're in for the guy.
It would be something they've never done before. They've never just spent top dollar money on that position.
Nope.
And so maybe this is, you know, and we all know, I think Belichick, we all know he can fall in love with players. Like, just these elite, freak, specimen type players. And I think OBJ fits that category.
And so there's something there.
It's just not a position he likes to overpay for, is my point. So that would be a little surprising.
Yeah, and there's been a little bit of a back and forth between Odell Beckham Jr. and Tom Brady on Instagram. You know, he's telling him he loves him over the weekend on Instagram, and it's just, I mean, there's something to this. There's something to this story. There is a little bit of smoke there. And both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are fond of Odell Beckham Jr. So does that mean it ends now? Does that mean it's over? Does that mean they couldn't pick up the phone right now and do it all over again this offseason?
Absolutely, they could.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah. And it's...
Doesn't this fall in line with what Mike Reese said about overhauling the receiver position? You could see a big name come in, and Burt Breer said the same thing, mentioning Julio Jones possibly. Like, the names that are popping up aren't these small names. They're big names. So he fits the category.
And again, if you're making a trade for that type of player, you're making, if it's Julio Jones, if it's Odell Beckham, you're expecting to pay the money. You know that's part of the deal. These are not players that are going to go on short money deals or, you know, like Randy Moss, when he got here, it was sort of the prove it to me and then we'll extend you. And they did. No. These guys get paid. They have contracts that pay them. You would have to allocate significant money to this position and to these players.
For the first time ever. Like, when's Belichick put this kind of percentage salary?
Randy Moss. The closest thing to it. He didn't do it in this fashion, but the closest to it is Randy Moss at $9 million a year. Yeah. Which was good money a decade ago.
Yeah, it's real good money.
Right?
I mean, it's the first ballot Hall of Famer, too, though. You know, I mean, it's...
And it was after he'd come here and played well.
Right.
That they agreed to do it.
Do you think they originally planned on doing that with Cooks when they first traded for him?
It's an interesting thought. Was their plan to get Cooks here, see if he was everything they thought he could be, and then extend him? Mm-hmm. And then when he wasn't quite what they thought he might could be, they decided against keeping him. But I also think the market got sort of stupid on receivers, and that's why they were like, nope, not doing this.
Big time.
That could have been it, too.
Fascinating, though, to think, bud. Like, the... It's fascinating just to think that a year ago, you know, Tom Brady's not showing for OTAs. It seems like they aren't getting along. Like, this relationship was going to be... It was fractured. And it was the beginning of the end. I mean, it was, and then you got all these, you know, guys, these receivers that never had a chance of really doing much here or in camp. And Tom's working with guys that, you know, weren't even to be here. And then after this season, all of a sudden, Bill wants to bring in a nice, shiny new toy for Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, what a difference a year makes, right?
Tim is in the car today. Tim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I want to talk about why the Pats might want Colin Kaepernick. 2 points. First, in terms of an owner, I think Kraft might want to stick it to the NFL a little bit just because of the scrutiny that he's received from the commissioner and the other owners over the last 20 years. And then on a coaching level, I think Bill looks at Kaepernick and sees, you know, if we're going to focus on run heavy to protect Tom, maybe get in here, get a guy in here who can learn some packages, run some options for us, and maybe take 7 to 10 snaps per game off of Brady's shoulders. What do you guys think?
Oh, I like how you almost went Sosie there. Snops. Take a few snaps per game. Sure.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. There was the Tebow effect with Bill where it was nobody else can figure out where the value is in Tebow. I'll do it. And then he got him in here and said, never mind. This guy, everyone else
did
have it.
Which always surprised me. I thought you'd give him a year. But.
That is part of Bill's sort of, you know, identity is that he can get the most out of anybody.
Right.
And I think he prides himself on that, being able to get something out of players that other coaches and teams couldn't.
Yeah.
And proving that, I saw the talent and you couldn't figure it out, but I did. You know, I allow the players to, you know, get to their full potential. And so.
Oh, yeah, that's Bill.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's Bill. For sure.
I'm the one that unlocked their full potential for them.
That's Bill.
Yep. So I think that there's that element to it, a little bit of that coaching ego element. And the other part is, I wonder, now that the settlement has taken place, is Colin Kaepernick more willing to go back to work for cheap money or for what's appropriate for a backup and not starter type money?
I don't think so at all. I think he's got a massive ego, and I'm not so sure.
Because
it would be a cool thing if he did.
I wonder if part of him not wanting to go back to work, as people have many times accused him of, right? He doesn't really want to play football. I wonder if part of that is, well, I know that I've got them on this collusion case, and I know that they're going to either fold or I'm going to beat them in court. And so I'm not giving up my case and weakening that case to go back and play football. Mm-hmm. But now that the case is over, there's no case to weaken. And if someone offers you $5 million for a year, what stops you if you really want to play football and someone calls and says, we'll give you, you know, $4 or $5 million. How does he say no to that this time is my question. And again, no one's done that yet. So we'll have to wait and see if a team does. But if they do, what's his answer and could it be different?
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We get to the news on Rob Gronkowski. Another follow-up thought. Ted, I know you wanted to get to this, and we didn't do it. Which is, how would Odell Beckham Jr. fit in the Patriots offense, in your mind?
I think it would be a perfect fit for this reason. This is not an, you know, Air Coryell type offense, right? This is a death by a thousand paper cuts type of offense, right? Get the ball out fast. Make good reads. You do a lot of option routes with your slot receiver, right, with Julian Edelman. So it's a thinking man's game, and it's getting the ball out fast, just reading the particularly short to intermediate type routes. There are literally maybe three or four or five guys in the NFL that can take a slant route to the house. Odell Beckham is the guy that can take a slant route to the house. So, you know, you look, do you need a deep threat? Yeah. Do you need to kind of have this? But it's also, you know, look, the deep threat in the Super Bowl was who? Do you remember who the deep threat was in that game?
It was Chris Hogan, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
You shouldn't even say the attempted deep threat.
Now,
Chris Hogan. He was no threat to anybody.
Nobody. Now, maybe I just painted myself into a corner because you could say, well, that's the problem. This team needs a deep threat, and that was not a legit deep threat in Chris Hogan. But they still won the game. This team, even though it doesn't, it's kind of void of a deep threat. And they didn't have one all season long, right? I mean, it wasn't like Josh Gordon was the deep threat. And they still won a ton of games. They won the Super Bowl, dinking and dunking their way down the field. And so Odell Beckham is a guy that you can get the ball out too fast, and you can do a lot of option routes like you do with Julian Edelman in the slot. And if you want to take him up top too, you can. So he's a deep threat too. So he's got every kind of facet of the game, the short, the intermediate, and the deep kind of pass that you not many receivers possess all of them, and not many receivers can take a slant route to the house. And Odell Beckham can. So I think that's a really good fit because Tom's not a guy that's, you know, chucking it deep downfield. That's just not his game. It's that short game.
All right. The latest news on Rob Gronkowski is that he's been checking in regularly at the team's facility. Granted, the offseason's only 2 weeks old right now, right? I mean, it was 2 weeks ago this past weekend that they were in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. But Gronk has been around the facility. This was the report from Mike Reese, I believe. Let me just double check. It was Mike Reese, right? Yes, it was. Mike Reese, who said it may not mean anything significant as it relates to his career intentions, but with tight end Rob Gronkowski saying he's weighing his football future, he has still shown up at Gillette Stadium multiple times over the past couple of weeks. He made a visit to Boston Children's Hospital Wednesday with his family, spent time with patients, and donating $80,000.
There you go, Gronk.
He might be visiting Gillette Stadium simply for treatment of his thigh. I also view his time at the facility as a reflection of his being in a good place with how the season ended, both team-wise and personally. That doesn't guarantee his return in 2019, but it figures to at least be a part of his decision-making process on whether he continues his career. That from Mike Reese over the weekend. Does Reese hang out in the bushes in the parking lot down there?
It's crazy, isn't
it? Honestly.
He's a hard working dude, man.
There's nobody like Mike Reese.
He gets it all.
He goes to all the charity events. He goes to every appearance charity event. Every time somebody's doing something in public, he's there.
I've known him a long time.
He's in the bushes with his binoculars.
Oh, yeah. He'll chase down everything.
He's looking. So Gronk's been at the facility. Do you read into that at all?
I do a little bit, you know. I think last year at this time, I mean, was he really interested in going around the facility? He's probably.
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Again, what a difference a year makes. And I will say, I think it does say something about Gronk's mindset, about how he feels about this organization to some degree. I think it does. If you just cannot stand this place, you know, maybe are really done with football, I don't think you would be hanging out at the facility. So I think it does say something. However, having said that, my gut feeling is that he's done. He's absolutely done. Now, a lot of people think, hey, you know, Tom's going to come talk to him. He's going to talk him into, okay, so you're basically, Tom's going to say, look, you still got to go through all the physical stuff. I mean, sorry, I can talk to Bill about, you know, giving you I call it the Mark Bavaro treatment, where you just kind of play on Sundays and get through the week. I don't think that's going to make Bill. I don't think he's going to be able to agree to that. And you got to take a pay cut. You've been taking pay cuts your whole career, but at the very end, when your really body isn't holding up, and there's a lot of mental and physical demands. They're going to ask you to take a pay cut, or a reduced salary, and you have to be okay with that, right? And that's, let's come back and win another one. I think Gronk will look at him like, "Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Pay me what I think I've been worth, or overpay me, and then also give me some liberties when it comes to taking care of myself during the season." I think Gronk has earned that. I just don't know if Bill would allow that. That's the only thing I think that would maybe make Gronk want to come back, Beadle, is if those two conditions, where he gets paid what he thinks he's worth, and then he gets working conditions that would help preserve his health, if you will.
So he has career earnings of $53.4 million so far. That's what he's got. He's never been asked to take a pay cut, but he has a deal that by now I think people would say there were years in there where he wasn't making maybe what he was quite worth. But he hasn't had to take a pay cut as of yet after 9 years in the league.
If you look,
9 years in, no pay cuts. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's also hasn't gotten the pay increase either that he's wanted.
Right.
And I would also say this, if you look at his stats this year, comparatively speaking to other years,
yeah,
how does it stack up?
Oh, down in a big way.
So I can, again, speak from experience.
Oh, no. He's going to get, he will not play at his number. I'm just saying that what's his willingness to do it, right? Is the willingness there or not? I don't think it is, and I don't think it's going to factor in as big as whether or not he just wants to play. And I think he's done. I'm with you. I don't think he's coming back.
So it doesn't matter. Like, if they kept him at his current salary, it wouldn't matter.
I think that he might be able to get, if he's on the fence, and they say we're going to pay you the full money, I think he could talk himself into coming.
Okay, yeah. So the contract is tied into his.
I think the contract, he just knows that the pay cut's coming. I mean, that's sort of, you just know what reality is.
Is there any benefit to getting cut, though? Because if he just keeps showing up, they're going to have to cut him. If he just keeps coming to the office, they're going to have to make a move. And he's not going to be the one that has to retire. He's putting the ball in their court to say, either keep me or cut me. I'm not going to let you off the hook with the fans.
Okay, here's the one thing, Jim, you got to worry about is when does he get cut? What if he gets cut at the Lawyer Malloy? Right at the end of training camp, right before the season starts, and you're sitting there without a chair to sit in when the music stops, right? So you can play that game, but Bill can use, that's his trump card, is he can cut you when he wants.
If he doesn't want to play anymore, then who cares? He's going to get whatever roster bonus, training camp.
It's just going through training. It's like to make, yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's thinking to himself, the only way I want to play is if I get my full salary. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I still want to keep playing. So you know what? I'm just going to say I'm going to keep playing, and if they cut me, then I'm done.
Keeps coming to work.
But I'm just going to keep going, showing up to work. I'm not going to restructure my deal. I want to keep playing, and if you don't want me to keep playing at that number, then you got to cut me.
Yeah. I just think it's one of those things where you are going to go, You know what people don't like when in relationships? They don't like the one being dumped. They like to be the one that ended it on their terms. Nobody likes to
be. Well, if he gets cut, he can still choose to go elsewhere. He will be an unrestricted free agent, 9 years in the league.
Last thing he wants to do.
He can go wherever he wants.
I'm just saying
that if he does want to play and he could, he could force their hand on this a little bit. He could just keep showing up and wait to get cut.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I want to show a clip real quick because you probably don't even remember this. Here's Gronk at the parade. There. Look at you right there. Just keep her. Oh, somebody's hitting you in the head with a football.
Hold on. I got a story.
You do? I mean, come on. That's how fun.
All right.
Was that a football?
I think it was something. We had literally, there was like five, those nipple shots, there were like five of them were thrown at one time, and then there was like five beers coming at one time, and everyone on the duck boat juking home. We're getting good practicing for next season.
Let's go to your calls. Peter's in New Hampshire. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, I first want to say Ted Johnson's great having him back. He is one of the nicest athletes I've ever met, just a real gentleman.
Thank you.
But, you know, I don't understand people clamoring for Odell and for Kaepernick. You know, the Patriots have a system. It works. They win the Super Bowl just about every other year with the system that they have in place. I know what Teddy said about, you know, having OBJ and, you know, using him for a quick slants to take it to the house and everything else. But no, I haven't heard anybody really touch upon, you know, some of his antics, some of his sideline antics. You know, what if they go a couple games without throwing this guy the ball? Do we have to worry about him murdering a kicking net? You know, there's too much baggage with both of these guys. I just don't think the Patriots need them.
Do you know what's interesting? Like, that's a huge, that's the biggest turnoff for me. I can't stand his antics. And, I would think there's 31 teams out there that maybe can't handle it, or that he was going to behave like that if he was on 31 other teams. I wonder if he would behave that way. It's one of those deals, I think you just come here, you just fall in line, right? I mean, that's what most guys do. Now, not everybody. But you're not, I don't think he's going to be able, he's not going to be able to get away with the antics. I mean, the guys that have had perceived issues on other teams before, Beetle, they come here more times than not, they seem to mute that. They seem to kind of fall in line. And so, look, the antics, if he brought that attitude to this team, I mean, I'd hate it. But I can't imagine that he would do that if he has an opportunity to play with Tom Brady and play, you know, on a team that has, you know, the coach, the quarterback, and the system to go win it year in, year out. Because he's got his money. Now, doesn't he want to build on his legacy and you know, and get those rings? So, but the attitude and the antics absolutely drive me crazy. But I think in this locker room, I think he'd fall in line.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to, because the way he's conducted himself in the NFL is just, first of all, it shouldn't be acceptable for any team. And I think that's part of his problem in New York. And it could potentially be the problem wherever he goes, that he continues to get rewarded even though he's a complete jackass. I've called him many times a losing player. You don't win with guys like Odell Beckham Jr. They've had one winning season period in his career. He's been in the league 5 years. They've had one winning season. And I don't think he's done anything to make them a more of a winner than what they would have been otherwise. Yeah, he's had tremendous plays. He's had a million great touchdowns, great catches, all of that stuff. But I look at the way he acts and I think that's not a winner. The only thing that I think, you know, you could sort of put him in a situation where it could be salvaged is if he comes in and he's close with both, you know, or has been very friendly with both Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, is if those two guys, Brady with more than a handful of rings, Edelman with three rings, both of them are Super Bowl MVPs, and they look over at him and say, what are you doing? Don't you know anything? You obviously don't know what it takes to win in this league. And it, you know, light bulb goes off. Hey, take it from these two guys. They obviously know what they're talking about. So when they tell you you're acting like an idiot and what you're doing gets in the way of winning, maybe he changes, right?
Absolutely. And I think you look at the offense that he's been on and the, like, are you kidding me? Eli Manning, does he come across as a strong leader? Please.
No,
right? Those receiving corps, he's always been the guy. Like, he was so young. But the older vets, what, they bring in Brandon Marshall, right, to kind of see if they could maybe sue things over and be a mentor to him? That didn't work out.
What a choice for a mentor,
yeah,
by the way.
Exactly, right? But you come here, it's kind of like maybe the Kyrie effect here. And so it's like you have a great player in Kyrie. You need another accomplished player to kind of put alongside him that he respects, that he looks – you come here, he's going to respect Julian Edelman. He's going to respect Gronk. He's going to absolutely respect Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, or else you're gone. And so I just think it's a unique situation, a unique place for a guy like him to maybe come in here and thrive. The guy's a major a-hole with his antics. But you come here, I think things would be different. I really do.
Paul's in Weston. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I have another theory of why Gronk is in the facility a lot. Before the Super Bowl, Matt White, or his foundation, had a raffle that included tickets to the Super Bowl, airfare, hotel, and there were different packages. I bought one that was a $300 package that also gave you an autographed football by Matt and Rob Gronkowski. And I think there was another package that included a signed jersey by Gronk. So he may be going in. I got an email about a week ago from them saying, please be patient. We have a lot of balls and jerseys to sign. So I'm thinking, you know, another reason he's in there is he's got a lot of stuff to sign to send out to people that contributed or bought tickets for the raffle. So I hope he doesn't get carpal tunnel syndrome while he's in there these few weeks.
I feel like that's, you know what, with all due respect, that's one angle. I don't think that's what's going on, though. I think that stuff can be brought to your house. I think he can have that signed at his house. I think he's going in there probably for checkups to see the trainer, maybe for workouts, clean his locker. I can't imagine that's the reason why, but maybe.
Rich is in Somerville today. Hi, Rich.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
So another receiver the Pats could potentially trade for is Keenan Allen. And now I know he's not Odell, but the Chargers are in a position where they need to move him. He's coming to the end of his contract. He's young. He's under 30. The Chargers are below the league average in cap space, and they need to pay Joey Bosa soon. So could be a guy, you know, and they, I think that they could get him for cheap too. They're not going to have to give up a first-round draft pick for him, and, you know, they're not going to pay him elite cash. So depends on whether or not they actually like the player, but I think he's a good trade target. What do you guys think?
Okay, maybe. No idea if he's going to be available or not.
Yeah, no clue. I'm not sure why you'd want to get rid of Keenan Allen.
I don't know why that would ever cross their mind.
Yeah.
A guy that wants to get paid elite cash, I don't understand why that would be a candidate right. to be traded here.
Exactly.
Going to keep a bad pass rusher and Joey Bosa to get rid of Keenan Allen, too?
Not only that, if you're going to pay elite money for a receiver, why are you going after Keenan Allen and not Odell Beckham Jr.? If both of them are going to require elite money.
Yeah, I don't think Keenan Allen's
not a good player. I mean, like him a lot.
Real good. Yeah. I don't think he can take a slant to the house, though.
Nope, he's not Odell Beckham Jr. No. Talent-wise.
No.
Sean is in Marlboro. Sean.
Hey, two thoughts on Gronk. You guys were talking about his contract and if he's underpaid and what's he getting going forward. But tight ends only started getting paid big money recently. So for the bulk of his career, tight ends weren't making a ton of money. But then if you look at when he signed his first – when he re-signed for the first time – he had a lot of injuries, and even since then, he's missed a lot of time with injuries. So, yes, he was underpaid, but if you adjust his career earnings for his career injuries, is he really that underpaid?
You know, I don't know if that's the point, though, with Gronk. You know, I just think it feels like – I know they absolutely use the – your production as like a way to negotiate, like – I remember I was asked to take a pay cut in 2002. Well, why? Or it was 2003. Well, why? Well, because you only played 20% of the snaps. Well, yeah, because I broke my foot, right? So I only played 20% of the snaps because I broke my foot week one against the Buffalo Bills. So it's kind of one of those deals where they will absolutely use your injury history. You know, because it's going to affect your production against you when it comes to negotiating. They will.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.